Welcome to Smark Down Boulevard. My name is Jose Solorzano. We're back at it again. And with my co-host, the brother, the baddest guy around, Jermaine Meredith. How are you doing this week?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm good, man. Very good. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, the Will Ospreay drama that's been going on.
What is it with AEW and having these guys like Will Ospreay? He barely wrestles, right? He just does a promo every week. And Mercedes Moné, too. Like, ever since she's made her debut, she barely wrestles. She just is always, we'll hear from Mercedes Moné. We'll hear from Will Ospreay, bruv. Like, I mean, I want to see these people wrestle. I don't want to hear them all the time. But anyway, I digress. Jermaine, what did this guy say on, was it Dynamite, you said?
Yeah, last week's Dynamite. Same episode where they aired the Bucks security footage. Oh,
what an episode that was, eh?
Yeah. So some backstory.
Okay.
Triple H was on Pat McAfee podcast, I think it was. He made the comments about free agents, and Triple H said that some people don't want the grind and they only want to work one day a week, something to that effect. So Will Ospreay came out on Dynamite last week and asked Tony for 5 minutes. And Tony said, oh, TV's expensive, but he promised that it'll just be 5 minutes. So he came out and said that people are talking about him, saying that he's not willing to grind and put in the work. And then he mentioned that he flies 8 hours just to show up to work. So he's willing to put in the grind. And the only thing that he's grinding is the boss's daughter. That's why he's in the position he is in today.
Oh, and my.
Renee's look was a look of embarrassment, or she looked like she wanted to just crawl into a shell or something. Because this guy just sealed his fate. He'll never work for WWE ever, ever. And the fact that this guy thought that Triple H was specifically talking about him shows the kind of ego this guy has.
Yeah, well, okay. Let's not blame Ospreay that much. Okay, let's look at it as, whose company is this, Jermaine, that he's
Tony
on?
Tony Khan.
Tony Khan. Okay. So you're telling me, if this is true, that he went to Tony Khan and he said, give me 5 minutes.
That's what he said.
All right. So let's say that's true. Let's believe him. And Tony Khan said, yeah, TV's expensive. All right. We understand that. Do you not think Tony Khan would say to him, what are you going to say within those 5 minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? And do you honestly think that Tony Khan would say, if that's in fact what Ospreay said, if what Ospreay said on TV is what he told Tony Khan that he was going to say, what does that say about Tony Khan? Or what I think happened was, you're going to go out there for 5 minutes? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead for 5 minutes and say what you got to say. Either way, Tony Khan looks horrible with this shit. Excuse my language, but like, it's just unbelievable that a boss or a wannabe boss would allow that to happen on TV.
Last week's episode of Dynamite was an episode of Nitro. Pretty much what everyone's been saying. Awful.
Horrible.
A lot of WWE references. Just garbage. What they have. Didn't they have Samoa Joe versus Dustin Rhodes?
Yeah, some Eliminator or something like that.
Yeah. And the comments that I was reading concerning the match, everyone's like, oh, so WWE had Cody versus a Samoan and now they're doing it in AEW. And then one person's like, finish the tale, Dustin.
Yeah, it's just like a cheap version of what WWE is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This all lies on the matchmaker, the booker, whatever you want to call this guy, the boss, loose term for him, Tony Khan. This guy's off the rails. They need help. They need
help.
Mark. I'm sorry.
He's like, a money mark.
He is way over his head with this company. It's surprising how it survived all this time. Over 5 years, really. And right now you're seeing the cracks, major cracks. And he's the problem. He's the problem in AEW. And this is coming from people who don't watch it on a regular basis. I mean, this stuff makes the news because, not because it's must-watch TV or it's thrilling or you want to see what happens next week. No, it's because it's so bad. It's why it makes news. It's because it's shocking that a boss would allow this to happen. Who does this? In one episode, one horrible episode of Dynamite, this all happens. And I guarantee you the matches were crap. as well. I mean, I don't even have to watch it. I know they're crap. That's how much the reputation is there for AEW Dynamite. Believe me, I've been to one. It was the biggest waste of $45 I've ever made in my life. And yes, like you said, he sealed his fate. He will never work for WWE again. He will never work for WWE. And yes, the ego on these guys. Cornette's right. These guys, just because they've been to Japan and all that stuff and they won a couple titles here and there, they think they're like all that and everything. I'm just like, no, like, let's be honest here, guys. Who runs the wrestling business? Which company is the company that everyone dreams about? We don't say, if I want to be a wrestler, I don't dream of going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't dream of going to CMLL. I don't dream of going to AAA. I don't dream of going to MLW. I don't dream of going to AEW. I dream of going to WWE. That's where you make a name for yourself. That's where you become a household name. Nowhere else. Or am I living in a different world here? What world are these indie guys living in?
If I was ever a wrestler, my dream would be to get to the big stage, WrestleMania. Hell, even a Monday Night Raw.
Which is where?
WWE.
Thank you. He thought that Triple H was attacking him. And you know what they say, man? If the shoe fits, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And what did I say opening up the show? Why is it that these guys are only speaking every week? I mean, you look at Seth Rollins. Look at him. This man broke up his knee or whatever injury he has, his whole body, to still work towards WrestleMania, worked WrestleMania in grueling matches and everything. He came out like on top, even though he obviously lost, but he still looks like a champion. He stuck out, stayed with it. He did it to the end, and now he's going to, you know, go with covering all that stuff. But he was there day in, day out defending, trying to make that World Heavyweight Championship mean something. Right? He didn't sit on his ass and worked 1 week and did a promo 1 week. No, he was a fighting champion. And even though that's detrimental to their career at some point, but he showed up. And that's something that I don't think Ospreay would do. You fly 8 hours, bro. You're sitting for 8 hours. You're not working eight
exactly.
Hours. You're sitting on your ass 8 hours until you make it to the arena for a 5 minute thing that you have to beg to go on. So you say. But Tony Khan's the problem. And my prophecy will come true. 2025 AEW is no more. They will be a Dark Side of the Ring episode in 2026. The only person I can kind of trust now, and it's because I saw footage for myself last week, thanks Bucks, was CM Punk. This guy tells the truth.
Yeah, they showed exactly what he said.
like CM Punk says, tell me when I'm lying. He's not lying.
Yeah.
So if it comes out of CM Punk's mouth about Brawl Out, I'll believe it. All these other guys, I don't. Why was a non-disclosure agreement signed for all parties?
Because of Tony.
There lies your problem again. Horrible. You know who's also a detriment to the wrestling community and who loves to talk crap about the wrestling community and just wrestling in general? Ronda Rousey.
Oh, my goodness.
Ronda Rousey. Man, let's just say, I mean, for me personally, I could care less about her wrestling career. She does nothing for me. I don't know about you, Jermaine. Yeah. What did you think about her when she was around?
In the beginning, when she had her WrestleMania match with Kurt Angle versus Stephanie and Triple H, I thought it was good.
A one-off.
A good first showing, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, as her wrestling career.
Her wrestling career?
Yeah.
I thought that she got pushed too fast. Like, she became women's champion way too quick.
Right. And she's like, green.
Surprisingly quick. Yeah, she is green. It was awkward watching her wrestle.
Yeah.
And I felt nervous for the girl she was wrestling, but she quickly faded into obscurity. Like, no one really cared about her, and she was not good on the mic.
No,
she was upset when fans booed her. Like,
yeah, what, come on, read the room.
What business did you think you were getting into? You think you're running for mayor or running for president? Like,
let's be real,
this is wrestling.
Let's be real, Cody even nowadays gets whatted or booed sometimes, and he's over, so it comes with the territory. Not everyone's gonna like you in this business.
Yeah,
I agree. I didn't really care much for her. And, you know, anytime she gets to talk crap about WWE or the wrestling or wrestling in general, she does it. And she was on Steve-O's Wild Ride podcast recently. Ronda Rousey explained to Steve-O why she doesn't believe wrestling is a sport.
Oh, my
God. Now, let me read this to you. Now, bear with me because I want to get your input on this. This is what she said. It's scripted, mostly. There is a general idea. They are working together. They, not even we or we work together. It's they. She's not a part of it. I like to relate it to figure skating. Two people together. Now listen to this. Two people together creating a performance. As Shayna, and she means Shayna Baszler, so she's dragging her down too, likes to say, there is no fake way to take a chair shot. Obviously. you're actually getting hit with a chair. It's also not a competition. A lot of wrestlers and stuff will be like, wrestling is real. I got this injury or that injury. I'm like, okay, as a competitor in an actual sport, I'm never worried about getting injured. I'm worried about losing. That's the most stressful part of it. Injuries are not at all what you're thinking about. That's not what makes it real or makes it hard. It's the uncertainty of the outcome. When people are like, it's a real sport. No, it's not a sport. It's a very intense performance, which I have a lot of respect for, but it's not a sport. Now, she's saying that she has respect for it because she thinks by saying that we're not going to attack her as wrestling fans in the wrestling community. But she goes on to say, no, it's not a sport. It's a very intense performance, which I have a lot of respect for, but it's not a sport. If you've ever dealt with the stress and anxiety that comes with competition, you can't take that out and call it a sport. It's so tough. It's very physical, but it's not a sport. Now, what are your thoughts, Jermaine?
I think she's jaded and bitter. Just because the fans hated her near the end of her run.
Yeah.
Even before that. Like, she was... Her tune would have been so different if the fans cheered her and loved everything that she did.
Exactly.
But the fact is that she just wasn't good at it. I think even Becky Lynch called her out on it in an interview. She said, oh, she was not good.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have it.
She didn't.
Like, she needed a lot more time to develop her craft. Like, she had the one-off matches where she had time to prepare and go over stuff. But when you threw her out there on like a Monday Night Raw or when she was wrestling regularly, it just looked awkward. Like, she looked like she was going to break somebody because she didn't know what she was doing.
Agreed. I agree with you. And just because she's coming from MMA doesn't mean that she's going to have it right away. Like, look at Kurt Angle, arguably one of the best to ever do it. But he didn't go straight into WWE. He went into what they had at the time, developmental, at the time, for a couple months. And he got it quick. He was one of those few who got it quick and learned the WWE way really quickly and rose to stardom really quickly. But he had it. Ronda didn't. And they threw her into the lion's den right away. And guess what? Much like Goldberg, I would say, they threw them in because there was all this hype around them. But the performance aspect of it was not there. And that's what was highlighted here. And you're right. If things would have gone her way, she'd be back there all the time. She'd want to be a part of wrestling all the time.
Yeah.
But she didn't have it her way. And that's typical of her because when she lost her title in UFC, she went into this whole thing like she quit the sport. She couldn't do it anymore because she couldn't suffer defeat. She was embarrassed. And it's almost like here the same way. Like, she wasn't liked and everything, so she was embarrassed and she didn't want to put in the work because she wasn't liked all the way. You're not going to be liked all the way in wrestling. That's just not how it goes, right? We'll be fine without you.
Like, honestly.
Stop. Like,
I didn't feel any way that she left.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Ronda Rousey's out the WWE. Oh, well.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not missing her at all. I'm really not. And it sucks that she has to bring down someone like Shayna Baszler, who has not lived up to her full potential in WWE. She should be a killer. I mean, she's a trained martial artist as well. She should be a killer, and she has the look for it. But this doesn't do her any favors either.
No.
Don't. If you feel this way, you feel this way. Don't drag your friends down or put them in your examples. It's not cool, man. It's not cool. And talking about dragging people down, Jermaine, Sheamus made his return this past Monday from a horrible neck injury. And it's just bothering me. People are making fun of him because, let's be honest, he does not look like the Sheamus that we know that's always in shape and everything like that. But people, let's be smart marks here, okay? He's had a horrible neck injury, and he's back now. And say what you say about it, I'm pretty sure he's limited as to what workouts he can do. And this man is a workout machine. Like, he honestly, he has a whole YouTube channel on working out with other people and everything. Like, he'll put in the work when he can, but it's obvious that he's not 100% to do certain workouts and to lose that weight. But he's back, and honestly, the match with him and Ivar, I was entertained. I didn't think he missed a step at all, and it's good to see a familiar face, like a veteran now of WWE, come back like that. I'm interested. I like Sheamus. I thought before he left, before he had the injury, that he had great matches with Drew and with with Gunther. Yeah, exactly. And I think me and you were just talking about him last week, that they would have slobber knockers, those three guys.
Yeah, and they also brought back Sheamus's old theme.
Yes, written in my face.
Loved it.
Yes, that was great. It was refreshing. It was a good callback, and I think it's a good time for him to come back. But I do hope that he doesn't get, you know, lost in the mix there because of the way people are saying he looks or whatever. People, let's be smart here. These guys are professional athletes. They know what they're doing. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think Sheamus cares, honestly. Like,
no, he doesn't.
He knows what he's capable of.
Like CM Punk said in that interview, a lot of these people are punching up, right?
Yeah.
So these guys can't even think about getting into the WWE. They're nowhere near that.
Punching.
Sheamus is a former World Heavyweight Champion, former WWE Champion,
yep,
multiple times.
Yeah.
So he's good.
And he's paid his dues. I mean, they've pushed him, they've buried him, they've lost him in the shuffle. They forgot that he's been around. Like, he's been there. He stayed there. And let's not forget that he beat Triple H at WrestleMania 1 year. No, sorry, excuse me. He almost beat Triple H at WrestleMania 1 year. But and that was a good debut, WrestleMania debut for him. Before we go, Jermaine, and the reason why I didn't want to talk about this at length is because the story is always changing with the bloodline now, especially that Roman's gone for a bit, and we're seeing new faces now. We saw Tama Tonga make his debut, and Solo Sikoa seems to be the new head of the table. Consequences are here for losers. Losers also includes Jimmy Uso and Roman Reigns, since they lost at WrestleMania. So are we gonna see more Samoan dynasty in WWE? Are we going to see maybe Hukuleo from the Gorillas of Destiny? Are we going to see Jacob Fatu? What is your take on that?
I think so. I think it's going to be a bloodline civil war.
Oh my God.
That would be amazing.
I just got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps. Yeah. Oh.
Wait till Roman gets back. He doesn't need to be in the title picture anymore.
No, he does not.
He's done everything.
No, I mean, you know what? Like, checkmark, cemented his legacy. You are in the conversation of top 10 of all time. Let's be honest here.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'd agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, man, a civil war, that would be crazy. You have, like,
settle it all at Survivor Series?
Yes. The new bloodline versus the old bloodline. Oh.
Yeah.
Cinema, isn't it? It's just cinema.
Trust me, Triple H knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. He really does. I'm looking forward to this. And I feel like next week on the show, I mean, let's see what happens tonight on SmackDown, and let's see what happens on Raw next week. So by the time we get together again next week, there should be some more developments and some more new faces for this this new storyline with the bloodline. Fantastic storytelling. I'm all in for it. Jermaine, I thank you once again for joining me this week. And you know the deal. You know what to tell them.
Remember, folks, tuck your chin in.
You're listening to SmackDown Boulevard.
For more content, to connect with us, and for all things wrestling related, find us on Instagram at SmackDown Boulevard. That's at SmackDown BLVD to keep the conversation going.
This is SmackDown Boulevard!